with regard to the issue of sovereignty, which came up quite often in the hearing. And again, just having received a 30-plus page document, I just did a quick word search, and it doesn't come up at all. It's zero mentions in the decision with regard to sovereignty. So why is this not mentioned if it came up so often in the hearing? Indigenous sovereignty, the sovereignty of First Nations, some of whom appeared before you with treaty rights.
Yeah, I would just ask you to read the decision, really.
So you do speak to sovereignty without using the word sovereignty?
No, I didn't say that. I said you should read the decision.
Maybe if you want, if you have follow-up questions after you've taken the time to read the decision carefully, you can certainly write us an email and we'll take care of that.
I know the competition for Ottawa and Toronto was Wawade, and I think one issue that was raised was the issue of native language. I think the First Peoples Radio is pretty much focused maybe on the three main languages that aren't endangered, whereas Wawade was really a lot more languages, some of which are endangered. I think the TRC recommendations really urged pretty much everyone to participate in defending and protecting the languages, so can you comment on that, please?
Well, the commission considered each application on its whole, and one of the factors was also to demonstrate that they had a viable business plan, and in the case of Wawate, the finding was that they did not have a viable business plan that would be self-sustaining. It was very much reliant on third-party funding, and in the commission's mind, that was a risky proposal.
The First Peoples Radio, from my knowledge, their business plan was for a 5-station business, and that's not happening, obviously, if you're only giving them Ottawa and Toronto. So are you, if the basis of the decision against Wawade was the business plan, are you confident that the First Peoples Radio business plan will be okay, even though it's not what they presented to you?
Yeah, it's written in the decision. In each market, we talk about that, and also at the beginning of the decision. So the information is there.
Yeah, because I'm sure they were kind of thinking they'd have economies of scale, which they now won't. So that's taken into consideration?
Yeah, we took into consideration all the options.
Oh, I guess I'm just wondering, and I'm not sure if this is this, but did they put a business plan just for having two cities?
No, mean, each station had its own individual business plan, but overall there was kind of this offering and in their mind how they needed all 5 markets
to be successful,
implement that. Now, as a reminder, each one of the markets, there's one available frequency. So in each available market, we could only license one applicant. So in each market, you had competing applicants, as you know. So in the commission's decision, it gave weight to kind of the regional presence in BC of Terrace and in Alberta of AMSA as reasons to license those as opposed to whoever else was competing in those markets, applying for the same frequency. So that was another challenge.
I was wondering, again, in terms of serving the needs of and interest, speaking to some of the mandates and calls to action from the Truth and Reconciliation Commission that was previously mentioned, were there any requirements for education and training programs? Or were there any requirements for community access to these stations? So in terms of giving Indigenous people a chance for self-representation and acquiring skills as mandated by the TRC?
Well, the commission wants each service to reflect the community. And in there, without specifically giving them specific direction, it's up to them to ensure how that reflection access is going to be made available.
Okay. So no requirements, no specific percentages around education, training access, or community access programming? Okay, thank you for your time today.